Good afternoon and welcome to Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Lauren Landis and the late Patty Fink, who for the first time in 16 years, she texted our guest instead of Lauren and me. I know. Lauren, I don't know about you, but I'm just kind of... I'm kind of devastated about it. I don't know about you.
I'm not devastated.
Oh, I am. I am. I'm looking at my phone. It's a quarter of. It's 17 of. Where's Patty? She's always on time to tell us she's late. And then Leslie told us, oh, she texted me. Because apparently in her phone, Leslie comes before Lauren. Alphabetically.
No, exactly. I had just been texting with Leslie just recently, and you guys were a week away. There's a lot of texting in between.
That's
so
right.
She's right at the top of my stuff.
We've had important conversations.
Lauren, are you taking those kinds of excuses? Neither am I. Okay. Our guests today are Katie Sprinkle and Leslie McMurray. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Always a joy to have you on.
It feels like it's been a couple of months since we've been here.
Okay. Lauren is...
I can't hear them.
They're sitting right next to you.
And I still can't hear them.
Lauren, can you hear me now?
That's a little better.
Okay, get a little bit closer to those mics and you'll be fine.
Okay.
Or if Lauren takes his headset off, he'd be able to hear me.
There we go. That's a lot better.
Okay.
Yeah. There we are.
There we go.
Okay. I don't know if you heard the news. We didn't really talk about it much last week, but we're going to have a new president.
Yeah.
Maybe not. December 19th. It's still, there's hope.
Keep hope alive.
So we have two things. President-elect Trump was talking to Prime Minister Theresa May. And an unofficial transcript of this was released to the press in Great Britain. So he summed up their conversation by saying, if you travel to the U.S., you should let me know. And according to the press... 10 Downing Street is befuddled by the comment. And they did this whole long story explaining how it's hundreds of thousands of dollars just to plan the trip and how many months in advance. It's not, hey, Donald, I'm in New York. Teresa, why don't we get together for a steak dinner tonight? It doesn't work like that.
Well, he doesn't know. He has no experience.
Exactly.
I know.
That's what I was about to say.
We just need to give him a chance. I'm using air quotes, sorry. You know, kind of like if you find out a wombat is flying your airplane. Give him a chance.
I love it. I love wombats.
Okay, so the transition team is all in New York, right? So while they're in New York, Vice President-elect Pence went to see Hamilton. I hope he had the $800 seats. I mean, most expensive show ever.
$2,500 some of those seats are going for.
When they scalp them, because at the box office, over $800, just because it's that big.
Share the meme that you shared with me today.
Oh, yeah, it's a picture of Abraham Lincoln that says, "Oh, you got booed at the theater. Poor baby."
Please.
Okay, so at the end of the show... the person who plays Burr read a short statement that was written by Lin-Manuel Miranda, who was the author of the show, as well as the original star.
So Pence got his Miranda warnings.
He apparently did.
I wish Burr would have challenged him to a duel.
Do you know, maybe that's part of, symbolically...
Awesome. Why it was him.
Why it was him and why... Trump was so insulted.
Isn't that the tradition?
Now, let me know, if you're a leader of a country, and this is the worst criticism you ever get. Okay, so at the end of the show, they're taking their bows, and then the actor says, thank you so much for joining us tonight. You know, we had a guest in the audience this evening, and Vice President-elect Pence, I see you're walking out, but I hope you hear us for just a few moments.
And he did.
There's nothing to boo here, ladies and gentlemen, because apparently, you know, in Manhattan, Hillary got 87-point-something% of the vote.
No, she got 93.
Yeah.
Oh, in Manhattan, right.
In Manhattan, he only got 7%.
Right.
And he lives in Manhattan.
He lives there.
Yep.
They know something that maybe Indiana doesn't.
So, so a lot of booing. Okay. And he's saying, no, ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing to boo here. We're all here to sharing a story of love. Now, we have a message for you, sir. We hope that you'll hear us out. And I encourage everybody to pull out your phones and tweet and post, because this message needs to be spread far and wide, okay? Well, Donald Trump had his phone out, and he was ready to tweet. Vice President-elect Pence, we welcome you, and we truly thank you for joining us here at Hamilton. Now, that's...
I can see why he'd be irritated.
Okay, maybe not yet. At Hamilton and American Musical. We really do. We are the diverse America who are alarmed and anxious that your new administration will not protect us, our planet, our children, our parents. Now, that's not really criticism of him. We're just alarmed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
It's a message of hope. Or defend us and uphold our inalienable rights, sir. But we truly hope that this show has inspired you to uphold our American values and to work on behalf of all of us. All of us. Okay, so what was the criticism?
Well, and that wasn't even the whole quote. That's not even all of what he said.
Oh, okay. That's what I got out of the Times.
No, there's more to it.
Oh, maybe. Okay.
Well, while she's looking it up, I don't know what was so irritating about that, other than they...
Well, I don't know that they've ever done something like that before. But aside from that, just, you know... Hillary got 1.5 million more votes across the country. And so I don't know that you've had a situation where you've had an newly elected official in such a divisive campaign attend a show in which people, and the show itself is about diversity and a lot of those topics, which of course the Trump campaign blasted, throughout. So,
And Pence has a long history of being...
Oh, and Pence himself has a very long history.
Very.
Okay, here's the finish to it. We truly thank you for sharing this show, this wonderful American story told by a diverse group of men, women, of different colors, creeds, and orientations. Okay, so that's the end of it. So that really insulted him.
Must have. It must have.
Because I guess he didn't know that there might be some gay people performing in a Broadway show.
Oh, I've never heard of such a thing.
I know.
Wow.
Well,
it's a diverse orientation, so I guess they have straight people in their cast.
I love some of the memes that have been popping up, too, about people creating show names to honor, you know, kind of irritate Pence. And I think that's also what got under his skin just a little bit.
I love the Book of Morons.
The Book of Morons, or Rent, but not to those people.
Now, David, this is going to start a new policy directive for Trump, because he was so shocked that there are straight people who perform in plays that he wants to register them all.
They probably wear something. What would they wear? The straight people have to, you know, like a symbol or something.
I think like the little, maybe like a doggy style tattoo or something.
Okay, so we're making fun of this a little bit, but here's what's frightening. Obama never got criticized, did he?
Oh, God,
I can't think of any
not
instances.
At all, ever.
Well, except during the State of the Union, when somebody called him a liar in the middle of his speech.
That was a congressman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so when they talk about, they were complaining all over social media that, you know, that's so disrespectful.
Right.
And my thought is, Trump himself championed the racist birtherism crap for more than 5 years.
Yeah.
Personally attacking President Obama, and President Obama has never, to this day, asked him for an apology on Twitter.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, I mean, or I don't think anywhere, any other medium.
It just makes me sad.
Well, yeah. Didn't Trump just tweet something a week ago, just learn something new about Area 51 or something? It's like, really? That's something you're going to put on Twitter?
You want to see some state secrets? Just keep up with his Twitter account. I have a feeling we're in for some interesting information.
Yeah.
I think we're in for a lot of surprises in the next 2 years, even if we get that far.
Oh, it's been 10 days, and I think he's already committed treason.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, come on, the guy's been functioning out of Trump Tower. He thinks the White House is shabby.
Had his kid in a meeting with this
leader. His kid that's supposed to run his so-called, you know, bunch of air quotes, blind trust, when the Wall Street Journal is calling him for him to liquidate all. I mean, that's what President Carter had to do with this peanut company.
He had to
completely sell his company, liquidate it, get rid of it, and they still investigated, make sure he wasn't getting a dime of profit by being president.
Patty, you didn't. That was different. That was a whole farm that produced peanuts.
So they wouldn't let Carter handle his own nuts?
No.
Had to have him in a blind trust? That's what the issue was?
No, he had to liquidate his nuts.
Oh, goodness.
I know the feeling.
And our guests today are Katie Sprinkle and Leslie McMurray. They are our transgender activists.
There.
Yes, no, none of us were, but that's why we have them on. Right. Good thing we don't have the video right now because Leslie is demonstrating.
Well, it's nice that we're laughing. Well, because last week we were completely devastated.
Yeah.
Patty and I talked for quite a while after the show last week, and unfortunately we weren't able to just talk about the initial punch in the gut feeling from
numbness.
Katie will tell you, I've had elections that didn't go my way before. My candidate doesn't always win, but you know, you pick yourself up, you move on, you work and do the best you can. This was the first election. I mean, we went out to dinner. We bought some stuff back home because we wanted to watch the election returns, fully expecting. And I got my nails done in this nice blue state blue.
Very, very
and,
nice.
And we were fully expecting to see a Hillary victory, as was predicted. And as the states turned red and it became darker and darker and darker, we just turned off the TV and went to bed. I just curled up and cried.
Yeah.
It's the first time I've ever cried, and it wasn't like a little crying.
Yeah.
I was hysterical because I just didn't feel like I would see equality in my lifetime. And that slap to my head and punch to the gut just absolutely destroyed me. And, yeah, you know, a couple days later, I'm better and I'm up for a fight. But it seems like it's a fight that we've already fought and we've already kind of won. And it's like we have to just start all over again. And it's exhausting.
It is, and we've been there before. I mean, Lord knows I'm a Texas Democrat. I know how to lose.
Oh, yeah.
I know what it's like to lose. But, you know, to have this at, it's just 12 days since the election, and look at all that's taken place, the hate crimes that have taken place.
Yep.
I have a friend who is a professor at Colorado College. Granted, it's in Colorado Springs, very right wing, and also she's the former second lady of Colorado. But you know, she posted some photographs of the stuff that is on the restrooms, even in the safe space for LGBT people on her campus. Just the slurs were amazing, and in Trump's name. And to me, it's just appalling. And that's just one of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of crimes that have happened in the last 12 days.
Over 700 since he won the election. Over 700 hate crimes have been reported. That's
and the right, the right-wing Trump supporters are saying it's fake, that's not even happening.
Right.
So how can we even, you know, advance if they can't even admit that it's happening?
Well, here's the thing. If somebody used Trump's name, which is his brand,
mm-hmm.
for any other purpose, they would be descended upon by a legion of lawyers to decimate them. Yet you see this hate being spilled and then his name being signed to it, and the most he can muster is during a 60 minutes interview, I'll look at the camera and I'll say, stop it. Really? That's all you got?
That's your leadership?
How's that working out?
Yeah.
The problem, and he doesn't realize this, is he said other things so many times, saying once, stop it. I mean, it was the right thing to say. I'm not criticizing him for saying that. And what Leslie Stahl said was on the CBS Morning News when she was talking was that he seemed honestly surprised to hear about these things. So he's not keeping up with the news, basically, is what she was saying.
Ever? Yeah, has he ever?
I don't know.
You know, it's somebody's job typically, and for government officials, to clip out news stories every single day, and they get a new batch of news stories so that they can keep up, because they don't necessarily
have every paper.
Yeah, so they usually have staffers whose job it is to pull these little clip things together and give them to them in a big binder. I sat next to Kay Bailey Hutchinson when she was a U.S. senator. We were flying in from Houston, and she had this huge binder of news clippings from newspapers across the country, and she is a Texas senator.
Or was one.
And
we have somebody different in that seat
But she was having to read through this, and I was like, I hope you don't think that you got enough time to read all that. And she goes, I've got to get it read tonight because I'm going to get another one tomorrow.
Wow.
And it was a very large binder.
I'm concerned that the cabinet, once he fully assembles it, could be labeled by the Southern Poverty Law Center as a hate group, because, like, Sessions, they're talking about, as the Attorney General has said publicly that he's okay with the KKK, but then he was against them. You know why? Because he found out they smoke pot.
Because that's worse.
Because, yeah, that's a lot worse. But he couldn't be confirmed as a judge, but now he's nominated as Attorney General?
That is so frightening.
It's frightening.
To set back. This is the guy who, since he was denied a federal bench back in 86 under Reagan, he hasn't significantly changed. He hasn't come out and said, oh, I apologize for my behavior. He's not done anything.
Why would he? He's in Alabama.
You know?
He's not going to get reelected there.
George Wallace did.
Yeah.
Governor of Alabama when he was running for president. We need to take a break. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON-FM. Leslie Sprinkle.
McMurray, Katie Sprinkle. I've been hoping, but, you know.
But no luck, huh?
Not yet.
Okay, so.
Wow, I'm going to put you on the spot.
Katie and Leslie, whichever.
Thank you, David.
With last names that kind of match or something. They're our guests. I'm Dave Taffet here with the late Patty Fink and Laron Landis. We'll be back with more Lambda Weekly right after this.
Hi, I'm Mel Gaither, and I listen to Lambda Weekly on KNON 89.3.
And this is 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with the late Patty Fink and Laron Landis. Our guests are Katie and Leslie, our local transgender activists. Katie is an attorney who deals a lot in transgender issues, personal type issues like birth certificates, a lot of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And Leslie works over at Resource Center. She's in charge of the insurance program.
Yes.
And the insurance program is a program that actually saves the county lots of money because it keeps people insured, and so it's not costing the county to keep them at Parkland when they do have to stay.
Since the election, there's been a lot of comments about we need to move on, stop spreading the hate, they don't understand why we're whining and so forth. And so I thought this would be a good time to kind of point out some specific things of why everybody besides a straight white male, we're legitimately scared. I know one thing is, you know, right after the election, we were asking, oh, my God, are we going to be legally married the same time next year? Now, we know that President Trump himself can't single-handedly do anything about that. But in a court appointment to the Supreme Court could eventually undo that. Or several court appointments, potentially.
He's going to have to be able to do at least two.
So, because it would be a Scalia swap.
Right, that's a wash. Exactly.
I've personally promised that if Ruth Bader Ginsburg needs it, she can have both my kidneys, both my lungs, my liver, my heart, whatever she needs to keep going.
Hang in there, honey.
I'm with you. I'm going to type in cross match with you.
That's it.
Yeah, they need to do a little, the $6 million woman and kind of, you know, we're going to have the first bionic judge.
If they will just give me her skin, I'll wear it until we can get Trump out of there and get somebody in there just to keep things going.
I used to work at a radio station in Sacramento, California, and it's interesting. This will give you some perspective on the comment and where it came from. But that was a station where a guy, a talk show host, got his start locally before he became nationally. The guy's name was Rush Limbaugh. So that's his home station. So it's a fairly conservative audience. And one of the comments on their website, because the host was discussing the Trump presidency and all, and so the next morning there was a bunch of comments, and this one guy, which just got under my skin, is a white, hetero, apparently married guy, lives in Northern California, and he said, Other than tax rates, how does this affect us personally? You know, or this doesn't really affect us personally. And I took such offense to it that I sat down and crafted a piece that I wrote for The Voice, and it was published on the online. You can go and see it there. And I think the caption was, you know, how does this affect us personally, or this time it's personal, something like that. But I started making a list, and there's an awful lot of things. I mean, my friend Ethel, who I worked with for 5 years in Houston, who's a wonderful woman. She's female. She's heterosexual. She's not part of the LGBT community, but she has stage 4 breast cancer. And she's absolutely terrified that the ACA is going to go away, because stage 4 breast cancer, being very expensive and a pre-existing condition, would render her uninsurable. And she doesn't want to die. And she's my friend, and I don't want her to die either.
Well, even if she does survive, what happens when she just needs to go to the hospital for some simple procedure that will bankrupt her?
Yeah.
Because a day, sure, if you're going through the emergency room and then into the hospital, $10,000, $20,000, $40,000 right there, just like that.
Sure. So her access to health care, my access to health care, marriage rights, equality, job protections. There are so
civil
many things,
rights,
yeah, that affect us personally, that we fought for and earned and every bit deserve as human beings.
Right.
I mean, really, we're not asking for anything special, just basic equality and human decency. And to see all that unwound, yeah, it affects us personally. It could be fatal to us.
Well, and that's, I guess, what this guy who wrote the original post didn't understand.
Right.
And that's a perfect example with your friend with breast cancer.
Yeah.
Either she dies.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope she doesn't.
I hope she doesn't.
But if she didn't have the ACA, then she becomes uninsurable until she reaches 65, and then she can be on. She'd be on Medicare.
But they're going to privatize Medicare. Ryan's already said he's going to privatize Medicare
and Medi-Cal too.
So what's going to happen to all those people who held the signs out completely misspelled that says "Get government out of my Medicare"? Are they now? Would they be the ones supporting this? I just think that's a, you know, as a person who's going to be approaching needing Medicare not too far away, this is terrifying to me. That they would dismantle Medicare, the best social net we've ever had in our country.
And what about specifically for the trans community? I mean, for the past couple of years, they've made the bathroom issue an issue because it was never an issue before.
Well, we were uninsurable, too, prior to the ACA.
Yeah.
They wouldn't insure us for anything, not sore throats. I mean, forget transition-related expenses. They
wouldn't
insure us for
anything. You have transgender throats, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. I mean, when I left the public defender's office to start my own practice, you know, I applied for just a basic policy. I was denied by all the big carriers. I mean, completely denied, and there was no subterfuge used. It was point blank. You are transgender, therefore we are going to deny you. Cigna was the only health carrier who would actually provide insurance to trans people, and that was it.
And how expensive was it?
Fortunately, at the time, it wasn't any more expensive than what I would have paid for the others. Now they're a little more expensive. But yeah, it was a complete bar. They would not sell insurance to you at all. So yeah, being trans, having any pre-existing condition, I have a friend who has scleroderma. He was worried about losing his job because he knew he couldn't get health insurance. And then they had that, you know, that high risk pool that you could go into, but nobody could afford it.
Right.
You know, if you could afford the $800-$900 a month for that, okay, great. But there were very few who could.
And let's talk about jobs. I mean, we still, in most of the states, what is it, 20-something states, you can still be fired for being LGBT?
29.
So, I mean, so we still don't even have that. But
29 for sexual orientation, 35 for gender identity and expression. Protections, none.
None. But some nationwide, we don't have it.
Yeah,
and so
the majority of states in this country
do not have
protect
it.
Us.
And Texas is one of those.
And Trump's famous cop-out answer to everything is, those are states' issues.
Yes.
And it's like, really? Because last time I checked, the 14th Amendment applied to all states equally.
Exactly.
But, again, You know, every time I think about Trump, I think back to something that President Kennedy said during the 1960 campaign about Richard Nixon. He goes, I know it's going to be difficult to run against a man who's been on every side of every issue. And that's Trump. He's been pro-gay marriage, against gay marriage.
Pro-abortion.
Yeah. So he has flip-flopped on every issue.
Just about everything.
Nobody really knows what he truly believes or stands for because it's been for sale for so long.
But look at who he's deferring to. He's deferring this. He removed Chris Christie, of course, you know, who's kind of tainted, but that whole web with Jared Kushner and Chris Christie prosecuting his father, you know, and sending him to prison. I mean, like, you know, that's a vendetta going on there. And the connections are crazy. But he put his vice president-elect, Mike Pence, former governor of Indiana, in charge, and Pence could not possibly be more anti-LGBT. Exactly. He thinks we should undergo electroshock treatment.
Well, don't forget, he's also vehemently against female reproductive rights.
Exactly.
Yep. Not into those either. And RFRAs will explode under him.
Oh, absolutely. And he's also against evolution, so...
He's
the trifecta of idiots.
Exactly, and that's who he's going to defer to. So the fact that he has flip-flopped and equivocated really doesn't make any difference because he's going to defer to Pence, and Pence already told the GOP in the House, buckle up, because it's going to be a fast and furious. They're going to pass as much as they possibly can. Because you know what's going to happen in 2018? They're going to lose. They know that. I mean, you just go look at history. Two years.
I've heard wind that one of their plans is to keep the ACA in place through 2017 and then also probably 2018, but then defund it midway through 2018 to force the issue for 2019. But I think defunding something that ensures health for 20 million Americans right prior to a midterm election might not be the best idea I've ever heard.
And the coal miners in West Virginia in Kentucky, those coal miners are terrified. They're losing their jobs. There's no future for coal. And they're on the ACA because their governor chose to expand Medicaid. And so they're terrified they're going to lose their health care. So they're going to lose their jobs and their health care under Trump.
One thing that it seems like, now that they've started discussing it a little bit, well, we're going to keep the previous conditions.
Pre-existing
conditions.
He said it's going to keep for kids to stay on the insurance till 26.
Yeah, we're going to keep the exchanges. We're going to keep, well, the Medicare expansion. So they're keeping everything. Here's what I think they're going to do. They're going to withdraw Obamacare. They're going to take Obamacare, call it the Affordable Care Act, to pass that. Success.
Trump care.
We got rid of Obamacare.
Which is an oxymoron, really.
Yeah, we got rid of
Trump don't care.
And try to take credit for it.
Well, and they will take credit for it because people will say, see, I really like this new bill. I doubt there's going to be much of a difference. The one thing that he did say, that if he can do it, we're all going to be behind him. Obama's going to be behind him, too, if he can control health care costs at all. My insurance went, in 2014, it went from $400 to $800, and this year it's going to top $1,000 per month.
But here's
simply because of age.
But here's where they're getting away with it. There are 36 states in this nation who have rejected state exchanges in their own states, which expand Medicaid, which provide those marketplace exchanges where you can buy competitive health insurance in your state. And so those states that don't have it, those people are going to the federal marketplace to get their insurance. It's because they don't participate. They hate the black man in the White House so much that they're trying to crush and gut the ACA altogether. But the plan is that if everyone participates, if young people who are healthy participate, and they're refusing or waiving their insurance at work, but if they get something on reasonable on these exchanges, it brings everybody's prices down and raises all boats. You know, I mean, that's the point. Mm-hmm. And so 36 states have rejected it. So it's not like, oh, this is Obama's problem. This is Obama's fault. No, these are the stubborn, racist governors like ours in the state of Texas, yep, who are denying health care to their own people.
Gee, maybe Trump will have a government option.
Well, you know what?
Single payer.
I doubt it.
2 years ago, there was a governor, I can't remember which state, I want to say Kentucky, but the governor of the state that was the sitting governor had taken on ACA, expanded Medicaid, and his opponent was like, nope, this is wrong, we're going to pull out, if you vote for me, this is what I'm going to do. So he won. And the first thing he did was pull out. And then a bunch of people lost their health insurance.
This is Kentucky.
So there were people who were like, where'd my health insurance go? Well, dipstick, who did you vote for? That's where it went. So, I mean, there are people who will vote against their own self-interest because the charlatan that came through town, in this case, he was elected governor, said, you know what? I'm going to take your health insurance away from you, so vote for me. And people did.
It's insane. It's truly insane.
I want to switch gears just a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about what happened. What happened? You know, David and I talked before the show last week, and I was like, you know, I think the polling business has probably just got put out of business. All of the polls, all of the major polls predicted, you know, because they vary as far as the point spread, but they all predicted a Hillary Clinton win.
Well, and she won popular wise.
She won popular vote, but they even predicted as far as the Electoral College vote and our count. And so what happened?
They underestimated the anger of white America.
Well, and there's also no true way to predict who is going to turn out. The demographic, I mean, you have your regular voters, the people who consistently turn out, and you have demographic breakdowns on all of them. Trump reached into a demographic that's typically not considered because the voting is very sporadic. It's very hard to get polling data because they're so diffuse throughout a particular state. And they turned out to vote in droves. And that skewed the polling because, again, you can't poll that segment because there's not a good way to do it.
But I think something else he did, and I think most people thought he wouldn't be able to do this, and that is he did get some Democrat votes.
Oh, I think he did. I think he got about a bunch of Bernie votes.
Yeah.
I think he did. But if you look at, like, I can't remember which three it is. It's Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Michigan, I think. If you combine those, it's less than 106,000 votes. That's the difference between combined.
Yeah, Democratic if you combine those three states. Low. We were low by 10 million votes compared with, I think it was three elections.
But it was an edge in each of those states. Yeah. It wasn't like he had a mandate in each one of those states, but he had enough to get those Electoral College votes.
Well, Michigan still hasn't been called.
That's true.
He's ahead, but it still hasn't been called. It's that close. You know, with her getting so much of the popular vote, she's won about 1.5 million votes ahead, which is a record. There have been five elections where one candidate won the popular vote, the other candidate won the electoral vote. Mm-hmm. The last one was Gore v. Bush. This is the first time that there's such a huge difference, but all of that difference basically was in California. She won California by over 3 million votes. And if you take out California, he wins not just the popular vote, but the electoral vote.
It's all about scale.
It's all about scale.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, however, California, the Electoral College gives is apportioned one for every 703,000.
Right.
And in Wyoming, it's one for every about 125,000 people.
Yeah, there's five times the clout in the small states than there is in California. So it could tend to be.
So
balanced.
If California voted proportionally, so he wouldn't have won.
So do you think it's time to get rid of the Electoral College?
Just balance it.
It's been time to get rid of the Electoral College for decades. Once you started tying the electoral vote to popular vote, because people forget this, and there's somebody posted on Facebook, some conservative group that's defending the Electoral College, and they're saying, well, the founders didn't want direct democracy. They didn't. That's no kidding. They didn't.
They didn't.
Electors were selected by state legislatures originally. And then, you know, senators were selected by, wasn't us.
So the state legislatures chose the United States senators.
Yeah. So I mean, there were a lot of steps put in the path of the people, so that power remained with the elite.
Original voters were landowners.
Yes, and
so if
only
you live in an
landowners.
You don't vote. If you're a woman, you don't vote.
Right.
And on.
As we have gotten rid of those institutions and broken them down, the Electoral College was just, it needs to be done away with.
But part of its purpose is to prevent a tyrant. That's one of the things that the founders.
Right.
Our founders were fearful of that, and they didn't want the people to be duped into choosing someone who was, you know, popular, but the founders realized that the Electoral College was there to stop them. Yes, we were duped.
All right.
Hey, we're going to take a break.
We'll come back. We'll talk about how we can fix that.
You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Ron Landis and the late Patty Fink. Our guests are Leslie and Katie, whose last names just elude me.
Not that they matter.
And we'll be back. We'll be back with more right after this.
I'm Patty Fink, and you're listening to Lambda Weekly on KNON 89.3 FM.
And this is Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet here with Ron Landis and the late Patty Fink, who we just heard on a recording. Leslie and Katie are our regular transgenders as opposed to our irregular ones. You know, I just realized today is Transgender Day of Remembrance.
Yes, it is.
Is that, something's going on at 6?
Yeah,
at
I think
the
there's
monument?
One in Fort Worth. Is I know the specific address.
Celebration?
Yeah.
Are they doing something? And here, something at the monument on Oak Lawn at Cedar Springs.
Yeah. There was 25 in the United States murdered this year, which is an all-time high, and it just keeps going up. And
4 in Texas.
I'm terrified of what next year will bring with, again, as I think one of the things that bothers me most about the whole Trump phenomenon is the division in this country. I think it's existed, but now it's been given a voice and it's been given permission. And you have guys like Tracy Murphy, the sheriff up in Denton County, who verbalized some of those hateful thoughts when he was running for sheriff, saying that he would beat unconscious any trans woman that went into a bathroom where his daughter was. And I think if you're some redneck idiot in Denton County, that gives you permission.
Well, your sheriff
because, hey,
said
the
you
sheriff
should.
Would do it, then why would I be prosecuted for doing it? So that kind of thing terrifies me, and the division and hate that's being verbalized right now just makes me sad, because I think America is better than that. I don't think that's how America as a whole feels, but to see this segment of it that's coming out, it is really dismaying. But I think if Trump is going to do anything, I think he's inadvertently going to bring a lot of us together. He's going to bind huge groups of us together that won't tolerate this kind of thing, that stand for love and not hate.
Well, you know, I had a delivery this, I posted this on Facebook, but I had a delivery in the last week of a treadmill. Got a new treadmill.
Oh, good. It's good, a thing to hang laundry on.
Yes, exactly. Once we put it together.
Awesome.
Right. But he came and delivered my treadmill, and it was really heavy, and it took him a while to get it in, but he noticed, he was a Latino guy, a young man. He said he liked my bumper stickers, but he started recounting to me, and so we started talking about the election and how devastated we were. And this has been a week. This has been a full week. So back then, a week, we were just still in that numb,
very fresh,
you know, place. And he said, he recounted the story. He says, "William, my family's terrified. We're all citizens, but they don't care about that. They're not going to even stop and look." And they're not. And he said that the white mechanics at his job, because he's a driver, but they have a set of mechanics because they have a fleet of trucks. The white mechanics told the Latino mechanics, it came over and took their music away, and said, you know, that stops today. You know, you all better get ready. This is white country. And that was in Dallas, Fort Worth.
Wow.
You know, I mean, this is crazy. This is just crazy. And Trump is just oblivious. It's like he can just, you know, come through and blow up the world and then walk away. And he's let all this stuff happen. And putting this toothpaste back in the tube is never going to happen.
Yeah, when you see the Klan doing the happy dance.
But, you know, what bothers me about that is some of his supporters refuse to admit. It's not just Trump. His supporters, you know, I don't know if they're disillusioned or what, but they've refused to see that. Yes. There's racism and acts of hate even going on. Like, no.
They give it a pass.
They give it a pass.
Yeah. And it didn't stop them from voting
it
when they knew about it.
Did it.
Fully
it did
up front. It. Not just the racism, the sexism, the misogyny, the Islamophobia.
All of it.
The anti-LGBT crap. All the stuff.
Yeah, and it's not a matter of he's telling people to do this, but he's speaking in that way that people who had these feelings before feel, oh, okay, now it's okay for me to verbalize those things. I don't have to be, and this is the bad word, I don't have to be politically correct. But it's not being politically correct to be polite to people.
Right.
It's not being politically correct that everybody should have the same rights.
Right.
This is white country. What does that mean? It means I've had to listen to your music, and we're not going to do that anymore. Well, I listen to yours, you listen to mine. That's what KNON is.
have you seen the video, again, right here in Texas at a school game, a high school game? The kids were up in the stands holding signs yelling white power, because the opposing team
whatever
they played
school that was should be
Hispanic.
Banned for the rest of the semester.
And not only did the other onlookers not do anything, none of the teachers did anything, none of the staff did anything, none of the parents did anything, nobody did anything. That would freak me out if I were in that gymnasium. I would get up and go. I would leave quick.
I would too.
That's horrifying.
You want to hear the craziest thing that came out yesterday? There was a citizenship ceremony in San Antonio, Texas, and a United States federal judge by the name of John Promomo in San Antonio, Texas, told the people he had just sworn in who'd never been citizens before, they immigrated here and they were becoming citizens, they gave them the oath of allegiance to this country, right? He told them, he gave them a lecture about respecting Trump, and if they didn't like Trump, they needed to leave and go to another country. He says, listen how stupid this is. I can assure you that whether you voted for him or not,
they just became citizens.
They didn't vote.
Exactly.
They just moments ago became a citizen.
Maybe he doesn't know how it works.
Apparently not. He's just that stupid. I can assure you that whether you voted for him or you did not vote for him, if you are a citizen of the United States, he is your president. No, actually, President Obama is still president. He will be your president, and if you do not like that, you need to go to another country. President Obama is still in office, and this kind of crap is happening.
Wow.
It was right here in Texas yesterday.
Maybe it'll get better under Trump.
Yeah. Isn't that bizarre?
So, one thing that maybe will stop is this disrespect of the presidency. What they did at Hamilton was not disrespect. Every citizen has a right to contact and address and let their leaders know how you feel about things. And what they said was very respectful. They stop the audience from booing?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, what did you want him to do? Do you think he came out in the audience before Pence came into the audience? Do you think he came out and said, okay, now Pence is going to be here. He's walking in a minute. I want nice round of boos. He didn't do that. He heard boos and he said, no, he's our vice president-elect. He gave him the respect that he's entitled to, the respect that the office deserves, and then said, some of us are scared, and we want you to be the president for all people. And they're hysterical over that.
Before the break, I wanted to bring up this one. Before the break, we were talking about should we get rid of or keep the Electoral College. Well, how it works, the final vote is on December 19th. That's when the electors cast their vote. That's the one that counts. And there's been a move, I don't know if it's growing or not, but for the electors to not follow with the popular vote in their certain states and go ahead and put Hillary in office. Do you think they'll happen?
No. Well, there are a number of states who, by law, the electors can't do it. So
well, they can, but they get a fine.
So, there are some, actually, where there's a jail sentence attached to it.
Yes. Really?
Yeah.
There are some states that do protect that link.
Most of them, it's like a $500 or $1,000 fine, and Patty's already said she'd pay it.
We'll take up a collection and pay.
There you go.
However,
we can raise that money.
Understand that the people who are selected as Democratic electors, the people who are selected as Republican electors, it's not reasonable people like you, Laron. It's people like Patty who would be selected as a Democratic. Now, one thing the law does say is that an elector can change their vote and I don't know the wording, but to avoid an incompetent or unqualified candidate.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that would seem to.
I think that's fitting. Yeah. That's completely applicable right now.
Yeah, I did want to add something a little bit to the last conversation. Is also respectfully, but if you're one of those people that's up in arms, that's really angry, that's out carrying signs, that's yelling, and is really upset about the Trump presidency, and you didn't vote, you're part of the problem. Stop it.
Absolutely.
Put down your signs. Register to vote. Then you can complain. But if you're all freaking out now because of something happened and you didn't vote, shut up.
If you voted for Stein or Johnson,
if you
added up those votes for third party, you know, like, I'm going to express myself. I have my right to express myself. Then you caused this, too, because the margin of difference between Trump and Clinton in those states was smaller than the vote in those states for those two third party candidates. It's just that simple.
Did you all see the pie chart of how many votes the Hillary got, that Trump got, and the other two third, fourth parties got compared to the people who didn't vote? If the people who didn't vote were a candidate, they would have won by a landslide.
Right, because only 26% of the electorate in this country voted for
Trump.
That's
sad. Yeah.
That's perspective, though.
Well, that's a mandate.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
At least that's what they're telling us.
Right, it's just crazy.
Yeah.
But more so, before we run out of time, let's talk about what's going to happen right here in Texas. We have some bills that have already been filed.
Yeah, that makes you happy that the legislature only meets every other year to limit the damage that they could potentially do.
Exactly.
It's terrifying, some of the nonsense. You know, Dan Patrick put out his top 10 list of the things that he wants to go. And the true major issues facing this state aren't even on his list.
Of course they are. The two of you, be honest, have you ever gone to the bathroom?
Yeah.
So you've peed?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
See? They're part of the problem here.
And I think rest
our case.
Hey, we're like number four. Six on his list,
yeah, number six.
Oh, you're not number one?
No.
I thought we'd be number two, at least.
Oh, yeah. Not number two. We're not talking. We're talking about peeing.
Uh-huh.
Better to be number one.
Yeah. Yeah. But we're going to raise a stink.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Number two would stink.
So the major issues, like taking care of CPS, didn't even make his top 10 list.
Yeah, and how about the state budget?
Oh, didn't even make the list.
Roads?
Wow.
Roads? Come on, roads.
Wow.
Okay. No. Now, let's be honest. CPS, we have kids who have actually died in protective custody of CPS. But you want to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
So let's compare those.
Well, you gotta go.
No, seriously. CPS has gotten that overworked, stressed.
Underpaid.
They can't do their job. Because there are so many kids who are in such dangerous homes.
Yeah, they've talked about hiring case managers that don't even have degrees, you know, just to try and lower the standards.
Yeah, because they can't
get people in there to help.
You know, they don't have funding or proper funding. So, you know, the qualified candidates are going to go somewhere else where they can, you know, get a decent pay. The ones that are there are having to carry caseloads that are 2, 3, 4 times the size of what they should be and can't address those issues.
And what's outrageous is it's them that's getting the blame for the problem.
Right. Yeah. When they
can handle a certain number of cases and they're being given 3 times that number of cases.
It's the Dan Patricks and the Greg Abbotts of the world who are responsible for that. And every member of the state legislature who sits on their hands and does nothing... The blood of all those children who have died or who will die.
Just kids who are not being taken care of
properly.
Surely
the issue of children dying in foster care is on his list. No, not on his list. Oh.
No, and he's crafted. He must have talked to Frank Luntz and found out a way that he can characterize the, you know, the bathroom bill. He's calling it the Women's Privacy Act.
Yes, I saw that.
It doesn't even. I know there's so many things wrong with that on so many levels. I don't even know where to start.
It's just offensive.
I have a solution for that. They should take the urinals out of women's bathrooms and put in private stalls. How's that?
That'd be a starter, except that there aren't any in there now.
I was about to say.
Don't little boys deserve privacy, too? Do they not care about little boys being exposed to predators?
And I loved his Dallas Chamber of Commerce speech. He goes, I know transgender people have been going to the bathroom for a long time, and there haven't been any problems, but, you know, it's those pesky predators. And it's like, really?
Using this law. Using, like, our non-discrimination ordinance.
Every time I see one of these bathroom bills that... former Dallas judge who's now the pretend mayor of Rockwall, you know, he went on television and said, hey, it's about predators. Really? Because when I looked at the language of your ordinance, sexual predators, the definition wasn't in there, nothing even remotely similar to the definition of sexual predator. And what these idiots are doing, and I'm going to call them out right now, they are giving registered sex offenders greater rights than transgender people.
Yep. Who've done nothing wrong.
Because a sex offender who is on the registration list for life, who has been lawfully, duly convicted of molesting little boys, is free to walk into a public bathroom. The only thing that ever stops them is parole or probation.
Well, they also seem to think that predators only prefer little girls.
Exactly.
I think that there's ample evidence to show that, even among the Catholic Church, that there's a lot of predators that prefer little boys.
Absolutely.
This is the whole daddy state thing.
Yeah.
I just can't stand. It's old white guys need to decide for everybody, for those frail little women. They just need to make all the decisions.
Yeah, that's what I said. There just isn't enough room for the federal government or the state government in my vagina.
What?
There's not room in my vagina for the state and federal government. They seem to be wanting in there, but...
I can't even get the state government in mine, so...
It's getting awfully crowded.
Oh, yep. Boy.
I know the feeling.
They don't make the lube for that.
No, it's not.
No.
So there's just no way to do it. So,
what are some other bills before we run out of town?
You know, there's one real bad one that would take local control away from cities when it comes to non-discrimination ordinances.
Mm-hmm. That's the big one.
Basically, what they did.
I thought the Supreme Court already ruled that it couldn't do that with the Colorado.
No, it's the HB2 style bill.
Yeah, what they've done here in Texas is they've taken HB2 and they've carved it up into pieces, so it's not one big bill. It's a bunch of little ones. So there's the one that's going to take away local control from cities. There's the bathroom bill. There's also a bill that would prohibit schools from allowing students to use their preferred name and pronouns, because a lot of schools do that. And so the state legislature wants to do away with that, too.
There's also a bill that forces schools to not keep information from parents, which in turn would out kids that are LGBT.
Yes. Exactly.
And if you're not telling your parents that you're LGBT, there's probably a pretty darn good reason for it, because LGBT kids make up, 5-6% of the population at most?
Mm-hmm.
40% of homeless kids are identified as LGBT, mm-hmm. and there's a reason for that. They come out to their parents, they get kicked out on the street.
But they're saying it doesn't say that. It damn well does.
It does. And then there's also that other bill that changes one word.
Oh, the current religious freedom bill in Texas says the government cannot substantially burden religion. They want to take out substantial. And then it just becomes...
It's a free-for-all.
Yeah, then it's free-for-all. You can't burden religion at all, period.
Yeah, on what you said, we need to go. One of our guests in December will be the executive director of Promise House. They have a whole new house that's going to be devoted just
awesome.
To LGBT kids.
We need it
kids.
So bad.
So, yeah, next week, our guests are from the Teddy Bear Club. And hope you have a nice Thanksgiving. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, Bex.